Marvel's Jessica Jones, Episode 4, a.k.a. 99 Friends is over, but we're just getting started here on post-show recaps. Hello, everybody. I'm Josh Wigler, and I just want to start this thing off by saying that during our last broadcast, I made some flippant and disrespectful comments about a certain individual. He's a fascinating and powerful man deserving of respect, and if he's listening, and I think he is, I want to apologize. I hope he forgives me. Kevin, I'm sorry. Kevin Mondeo, yeah. I'm so sorry.
I like your apology. You're safe for now.
Okay. All right. Good. So I'm safe for the duration of the podcast, at least.
Yes.
All right. That works for me. Kevin, how are you?
I'm all right. A little bit heartbroken at the end of this episode. I was a little shocked by that revelation.
Yeah. We'll get into that. That was definitely a little depressing. You also sound a little tired. How's that hangover? Did you continue drinking when we were done with the podcast?
I did. Watch it. I put into effect our drinking game rule when watching episode 4. So, yeah. Of course, yeah, and I definitely had I had one for that. But then also the people who were confirmed, you know, when they did the round table and it was like, oh, yeah, they were Kilgraved.
Yeah, so there's at least like eight Kilgrave zombies probably.
Yeah, so that was a couple drinks.
Yeah. So that's good. That's fun. So Kevin is in a great shape today for podcasting.
Oh, yeah, fantastic. No, but it's mostly just those LA early morning tiredness, but I'm ready to go for this.
Yeah, so I'm East Coast, Kevin's West Coast. We are now on Sunday, November 22nd, I believe, as we are recording episode 4 of our Jessica Jones podcast. We are hoping to get two more down today. Maybe, maybe not. We'll see how it goes. Programming note, we will be off for Thanksgiving tomorrow as you guys are listening to it. Thanksgiving's still days away for Kevin and I, but we will be building that into our schedule. So apologies. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I gotta eat that turkey and stuffing, man. I love stuffing. Yeah. I love stuffing so much.
You guys go focus on your turkey Thanksgivings, and you'll be back with Jessica Jones a day after that. It'll be fine. Everything will be good. Everything will be great.
Well, getting that turkey hangover that, you know, lay down in the bed and listen in.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so Kevin, where should we start with this one? Episode 4, what are your overall thoughts on 99 Friends?
Well, I actually want to start with a comment from my girlfriend who actually pointed something out that we're talking about before, which is, you know, you asked, like, why does he hop from place to place? Why does he keep living with people? And she said, well, Kilgrave. Of course he – yeah, why does Kilgrave do this? And she's like, well, of course he does that because if he was alone in his apartment, he's much less powerful. Like, he is more powerful when he's surrounded by more people. They're like his bodyguards, basically. So, of course he lives with other people because they're basically cannon fodder for him. If she ever tries to surprise him, they're there to try and stop her.
Right. And it seems like the longer he has a hold on somebody, the easier it is. Or, you know, it's kind of inevitable that they're going to break free a little bit.
Yeah.
So he has to shake it up.
Exactly. So, you know, going from place to place makes a lot of sense for him.
That makes sense to me. We also put out the call for questions before we started recording episode 4. And Eric Laval wrote in with, I thought, a really poignant question that I feel like we can address right off the top. Kevin, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Eric wrote in and said, what happened on episode 4 of Jessica Jones? I'm only on episode 3.
Well, we can definitely cover that.
I think we can spend about a half hour on that if we can.
A lot of stuff happened. There's a lot of Kilgraven reveals about people that he's done things to.
Right.
I'm pretty sure at this point now I can confirm to say this guy hates children.
Not a fan of kids. Really, yeah. Not into them.
So there's that. Jessica Jones gets set up and someone tries to shoot her. It's pretty great though.
Someone succeeds in shooting her.
That's true. They do shoot her. But it's just a flesh wound.
It's just a flesh wound. Yeah, I got to be honest with you, Kevin. I don't know how much I loved that storyline. What was her name? Audrey?
Yeah, Audrey.
Audrey Eastman. Is she good at Aikido?
I was going to ask, like, is that the creator of Ninja Turtles, Eastman?
Yeah. Audrey Eastman is the wife of Eastman from The Walking Dead.
Oh, okay. I went Ninja Turtles route. Did not know that.
You're behind on Walking Dead.
I am behind on Walking Dead. I know. Is it possible to be fully behind because you just hear stuff on the internet?
Yeah. So you're aware of Walking Dead.
I'm aware of Walking Dead. I'm aware of Glenn. And I'm just like, oh, really? That happened? Okay.
Well, we don't need to get into all of that. But yeah, there's
a different show.
There's a character on Walking Dead recently this season named Eastman who's really into Aikido. That's really all that I'm saying here.
Okay.
It's neither here nor there. But yeah, I don't know how I felt about this whole thing. You know, it felt like a little bit too much of a distraction away from the Kilgrave of it all. I'm really into the Kilgrave story. I guess I like that it brought out some anger in Jessica, which I think that we really needed to see. Not that she's not angry most of the time, but I think that just to see her throw a fit was pretty good.
It's kind of like, it's interesting because I know why she did it, obviously, because she is pissed, but that's like more reason for people to be terrified of her. Where they see like how strong she is and the stuff she can do, it's like, oh, now I'm definitely scared of you. But I see where you're coming from, but I feel like this is also one of those other things setting up like why people don't are not everyone's on board with superpowers. Like, it's kind of setting up this Civil War thing, I think. I don't know if Marvel did it on purpose because they're really good at trying to lay groundwork for their following stuff in the current stuff, you know?
Right.
So I don't know if that was on purpose just to do that. Like, it's just thrown in to be like okay, set up some distrust of superpower people. I did like that bulletproof test, though, because I'm not 100% certain, but I'm pretty sure in the comic she does something similar where she bluffs someone to say she's bulletproof, and they don't actually try and shoot her, but like she's just like, yeah, they'll do nothing to me. And in the caption, it's just kind of like, I don't think I'm bulletproof.
Yeah,
like,
I think this would be bad.
Yeah. So I think that bulletproof test is a scene from the comic, just plays out differently in this.
Yeah, I liked that. I did think that was funny where she gets shot and she's like, come on!
Yeah.
Which and I also liked the callback to the laser eyes was good. But yeah, I think that there's some merit in some of this stuff, but it was just ultimately just a little, you know, kind of whatever. I mean, if I'm just looking at the four episodes we've watched so far, this is pretty easily my least favorite story that we've encountered.
Yeah, I can understand that. I did like her little spy spot that she had, though.
How she like crawls up into this like little tiny crevice between buildings, and she's like several feet above the ground.
Yeah, that's really awesome. It's like when you're a kid, you used to do that, you know, like find two walls that are close together and like try to, you know, shimmy up it. I'll never that high and never between two buildings in New York, but that's really cool. I was like, oh man, that's a great little spy spot she's got.
I got to be honest, I don't think I ever did that.
Oh, really?
I mean, you know my body type, Kevin.
That's true. I don't think I can do that now. When I was a kid,
yeah, I know your body type, Kevin.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's not going to work out.
Yeah. We are so out of shape.
Yeah, we could talk about our body types for a long time. This is a tough show to talk about our body types with when there's so many very attractive human beings.
It's very, very true. Even like, which Abe Simpson,
I know,
which I thought was a one-off character, is not. Yeah. Abe Simpson's around for quite a bit, it seems.
Yeah, so this was a question we got from Binging R. Philly, who said, is Simpson a relevant character in the comics or a new introduction? I do believe that he's a riff on a character from the comics.
Is he like, I was trying to figure it out. I was going through my head and I can't think the only Simpsons I know are like the Simpsons. Yeah. So it's hard for me to.
Yeah,
exactly.
He's apparently Nuke from the comics. Do you know Nuke?
Nuke.
Nuke, AKA Frank Simpson as a Daredevil villain.
Oh,
he's got an American flag on his face.
Okay, that does sound familiar.
Right. Oh. So I don't know. I don't know where that's going, but that is apparently who this guy is. But is supposedly a riff on the character. So much in the same way that like Jerry Hogarth, Carrie Ann Moss's character is a different version of Hogarth from the comics. I think we're getting a different version of Simpson from the comics, and it could be possible that the villainous aspect of this character has been revealed already. That he was a Kilgrave zombie and not much else. But maybe there's going to be something more to it.
I mean, we can kind of see, like, he's a kind of rough and tough guy, and, like, he's, you know, doesn't he give her a gun?
He gives her a gun, an illegal gun.
There's a lot of things here where you're like, well, he's trying to do the right thing, so I can see a guy who's trying to do the right thing but gets a warped sense of, you know, of himself going down a dark path, so maybe he becomes Nuke from the comics. Or maybe not. It maybe just a character that decided to do something different with him. Either way, it's fine, I think.
Yeah, no, I don't know what to make of him yet. I mean, I definitely didn't expect to see him again on the show.
Yeah, me either.
I thought that he was just going to be this rando cop who shows up and tries to kill Trish, and then Jessica talks him down, and he fades off into obscurity. But I guess he's here to stay. He's played by Will Travel. He's listed in the main credits. So I think we've got Officer Abe Simpson on our hands for a little while.
I will say I do like that he did come back. Like, I like that line where Jessica was just saying, like, she knows that look on his face is that guilt because he thinks he killed someone. I do really like a lot of that. And I like that we're seeing not just like, oh yeah, the PTSD of Jessica from Kilgrave or, you know, and from Hope. We're also getting a guy who currently had this happen too. I don't mean literally a male. I mean like a person. And we're kind of seeing directly how this after effect is happening immediately after. You know, we're seeing the stress step in right now. Like, we know that Jessica's had it for a while. She's drinking. It's called whiskey. That's her solution. But we're seeing with this guy, like, how the effect, like, what Kilgrave's effect is, like, right away. And I kind of like that, at least, that we're seeing this blow back.
I also kind of like that he just seems like, I mean, he seems like a sweet enough guy, but he kind of seems like a big dumb idiot.
He gave her a gun.
He gave her a gun. He talks about how he used to play with his G.I. Joes, and he sent them on a mission to save Barbie from the Dream House, and they were consumed in a fire. So
yeah, they did save Barbie, which I feel like is a...
He saved Barbie, but he lost all of his Joes in the process.
That is true. And I mean, that was not a good mission command.
I shouldn't be pointing too many fingers because I lost a lot of Joes as a kid. I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I lost a ton.
I did not lose that many Joes. I remember I lost a Rocksteady toy. I was very upset about that.
Bebop and Rocksteady?
Yeah, Bebop and Rocksteady. And I don't know where he went. He just disappeared one day. I was playing with him outside. And I'm still upset about that nearly 20 years later.
And now suddenly you're remembering that a man in a purple suit came up to you and said, "You want to give me your Rocksteady toy?"
Oh my God, you're right.
Yeah, that limey bastard.
He hates children.
Yeah, he does. He hates children. He loves Ninja Turtles.
Yep, that sounds about right.
Yeah, or he hates Ninja Turtles and he's assembling his army to go after them.
Well, you know his favorite Ninja Turtle, right?
Who's his favorite?
Well, Leonardo, because he leads. I was going to do if you said Donatello because of the purple thing, but you messed it up. No, anyway.
I think you messed it up, Kevin.
I did. I had no joke.
I lost a lot of G.I. Joes as a kid. I buried them at the beach thinking that I could unbury them, and I couldn't unbury them. They were gone. They're probably still there somewhere.
That's
I have no
hilarious.
Idea. And then I used to, like, they had, like, the screws in the back, so I would unscrew the G.I. Joes, and then I would swap parts with other G.I. Joes. So I would make Frankenstein G.I. Joes.
Okay, that's pretty dope, though.
No, it was great. That was awesome. I had a very good time with that. But yeah, I mean, this guy, he just, like, melts his G.I. Joes. He, you know, he gives her the gun. He's like, "I protect people." He's obviously a very well-trained soldier. He's gigantic.
Yes, he is.
He talks about how he has 8 years of special ops experience, and he has a police force he can bring into this, and he seems very motivated to help out Jessica, but Jessica seems very reluctant to let him because he still has probably some residual Kilgrave zombie seeds in his head.
Yeah, and that's a trustworthy.
Yeah, it's a dangerous guy to keep close to the team.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I also was still very cautious of him. Like, the entire time he's talking to Trish, I'm just like, oh God, no, it's all a trick. So
you just had a glass of whiskey at the ready.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so I don't blame Jessica for that, you know?
No, totally. So I think she's on the right track, and I gotta imagine that Officer Abe is going to go off the deep end again at some point.
I feel like it's going to be something associated with it. We see that Jessica, you know, is in PTSD mode and she's afraid, but she's trying to fight through that. He's in the immediate after mode, which is just anger. Like, he hasn't gotten to the part of, like, you know, really understanding and being afraid of this guy. He's in reckless anger mode. And so I can definitely see him making some kind of crazy decision later on or trying to do something crazy.
Yeah, just something bad could happen. I mean, even if he didn't want to do something, we know that Kilgrave has this power over people.
Yep.
And the closer he seems to be getting to Trish, which we could talk about if you want to talk about that, that does not look like it would be very good for Trish.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Trish also went through something stressful. It is weird that she's getting close to the guy who tried to murder her, but I mean, good on her, I guess, you know?
I gotta say, Trish Walker is the best.
Really? You love the character?
I love Trish. I'm a big fan of Trish so far. I like Trish on the radio show. I like Trish in the Krav Maga studio. I like Trish, you know, with her super awesome panic room apartment. I feel like the fact that she's giving this guy a chance, yeah, maybe not the wisest thing to do, but I like that about her, that she really, you know, puts herself out there for people in need. I like Trish. I'm a big fan of Trish.
I think you just are waiting for the cat costume to really, really be like, yes, Trish is the best.
Yeah, you know, that's actually it.
Yeah, her pajamas, I kind of wish would be like a nod to the cat costume or something. Like, it's like that yellow and blue or something like that.
Right.
But I don't.
But I mean,
the small details, I don't think they'll do.
We keep hearing about the whole, you know, the show back in the day that Trish used to have. It's Patsy. You know, so there's definitely a history of her as a child star. There's definitely a past that's being talked about on the show. Now she won a Teen Choice Award.
Yeah, which she said was rigged in a interesting way.
Yeah, we don't need to say exactly how that was involved, but let's just say that Trish's mom may have had 99 friends as well.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, they're really building up, like, this past so she was on a TV show as a kid. She had red hair. I'm wondering, like, what kind of TV show it, like what was the show? Like, was it, like, one of those, like, Full House, you know, Family Matter style?
Oh, man.
Was it like a superhero riff show? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I hope that we get a full episode that's devoted to the Trish Walker show. Like, the It's Patsy, and it's just like a 40-minute Full House type of show.
Kind of like the BoJack Horseman special, where it was like an episode of his old TV show that was like Full House, except with a horse.
I'm going to take your word for it, because I still haven't seen BoJack.
BoJack's great.
I know, so I hear. Mike Bloom on Poster Recaps is always talking about how great that show is, so I believe it. I buy it.
Yeah, okay, well, then we won't talk too much about BoJack, because I don't want to do any spoilers for that either. But, yes, it would be cool to see at least a small flashback segment of what the Patsy Walker show was.
Gotta imagine we're going to get that at some point. But, yeah, she's got that history. I don't know how it's going to bear fruit. I do feel more and more that we will get into some sort of more heroic mode for Trish at some point down the line. Especially because, you know, Marvel and Netflix do have the Defenders on the docket, which is basically their answer to the Avengers, that they are supposedly going to be teaming up Daredevil and Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and Iron Fist. Why not throw Hellcat in the mix if you can?
I mean, it'd be cool. Like, five is always that magic number for a team, so I think having one more person would be great, you know, get that magic number five for a superhero team.
Yeah, so that could all be pretty cool. Speaking of assembling the Avengers, it's like the opposite of the Avengers. It's like, let's assemble all of the people who got screwed over by Kilgrave. And Jessica and Hogarth are working on finding all of the people that they can who can speak to the whole Kilgrave of it all. And this is a pretty great scene. This whole scene, this montage of everyone being like, some weird stuff happened to me. I saw a guy with like super freaky red eyes.
I loved it because, like, it just, of course, that's what's going to happen. Like, when you put it out there, like, there's a guy who mind controls people, of course, a bunch of people are going to show up and be like, I didn't really commit my crime. I was under mind control the whole time. See, my roommate even thinks this is how it is.
Right.
So I love that they did have that, and they have clearly some people who were just, like, wackadoos a little bit.
Yeah, they were, like, talking about, like, basically describing Superman at one point. There was this woman who was pregnant who's like, yeah, I couldn't get away from him. He was so hot. What are you going to do? It's like, some of them were very clearly just not real.
Obviously.
It's all very funny.
Yeah. I did like, it seems too, where it's just like, he hasn't done anything like huge, you know, like the woman who's pregnant and stuff like that. It's like little things where it's just like, oh, I like your jacket, give it to me.
Right.
You know, I mean, the biggest one, I guess, is, you know, a situation where, you know, with Jessica, like those, like he does these things to women, but like, and actually I take it back. Those are huge, terrible things.
Yes.
So never mind. I'm just going to withdraw my statement.
I meant
out of those crew, it seemed like he did something very simple and not something like ridiculous. It was just like, give me a thing.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, he's got like a high low range on this thing where it's just give me your coat is a very basic thing that he can do that still screws with somebody because, like, you know, why did I just give that man my coat? Granted, yeah. It's not, you know, he says it's not the same thing as killing my parents or anything, but it was a $5,000 coat.
Right.
So there's, that's gonna mess with your head for sure. But then there are the high stakes things that Kilgrave is doing, like making you kill your parents, like making you have sex with him when you would not be having sex with him.
Yes.
Raping you is a big deal. And the thing that he's doing to Jessica, which is just sort of this long game psychological torture, is intense. It's very, very intense. So
yeah, it's clear too. I mean, like from that that apology Trish made and everything, it's very clear, this guy loves to instill fear and paranoia into people. It shows exactly what type of person he is. The fact that Jessica's like, this is what you need to say, and what she says is just like, God, Jesus. Like he's a person who just loves to have this power. He just is so full of himself that, like, he's an awful person. Awful, awful, awful person.
What did you think of Trish's apology on the radio and the fact that that seemed to have worked? You know, we have the scene later on in the episode where the little girl comes up to Jessica and speaks with, Kilgrave's words. And
yes.
Says, like, hey, your friend is fine. You're still in trouble.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know. It's weird because I feel like he didn't care as much for Trish's apology in the sense of, like, yeah, she totally means this. But I think he likes the fact that she did it in a public space like that. Like, clearly, he loves power, and he has this ego that he wants to be stroked. And he likes, instilling that fear, paranoia, and humiliation into people. So having her do it on the radio and have it out, broadcast like that, that's what he cares about. He doesn't actually care about whether or not she means it. He cares about the fact that it happened in such a public space and people heard her say it.
Right.
I feel like that's why he's all like, okay, cool. She did something so, awful to herself. And that's what this guy apparently gets off on, because he's, an awful person.
Well, I think the other thing probably, too, is Kilgrave can make people do anything he wants. That's obviously for a guy like him. And even Hogarth remarks on this, like, man, wouldn't that be great to have? But like, it's
Jessica responded so well to that.
Yeah, she didn't like that. But, you understand that to a degree of like, oh, man, wouldn't that be cool if I could make you go get me pizza? That would be so freaking awesome. And I would use that power every day.
Yeah, multiple times for you every day. You'd be like, get pizza.
Yeah, get pizza for me. But then there's the other aspect of it where, like, it's so easy for him to do that. And it's so easy for him to get his way that with Trish making this concession on the radio, he didn't mind control her into doing that. He damaged her to such a degree, potentially, at least this is like, maybe the way that he's viewing it. I damaged her to such a degree that she just made this public concession on the radio. And that's like more of a hard-earned victory, if that makes sense.
No, I definitely understand what you're trying to say there. And yeah, it's just, like I said, it's just the more we see about this guy, the more we see of Kilgrave, he really is like arguably the most evil Marvel villain that we've been introduced to. Because I don't know, like just like the story about that guy too, where it's like, oh, he was in the car and he just said, yeah, put your, like you want to get rid of your kid. I don't remember. Did he get his kid back? Like he said, he'd been driving around for a week. Did he find his kid after that week somewhere? Like what was the resolution? I feel like that was not resolved.
I think the resolution he said was like, well, my wife is leaving me.
Yeah, but is the wife leaving because the kid's gone? Like,
I don't know if they ever mentioned. I hope that the kid is okay.
I mean, it's Herald Square, man.
You would think that if he was around enough to be in this support group, to have gone to Hogarth and everything, that you would gotta assume that this guy would be in jail if anything bad had happened to the kid.
Yeah, that's true.
It's hard to imagine him walking the streets in that case.
Yeah.
Like if Hope can be incarcerated for what she did, this guy would probably be behind bars too.
That's true. Well,
but I mean, it was
either
still,
way, yes, terrible thing.
So messed up.
Yup. Like you said, he hates children.
We had a question from Jake Larson who said, which was your favorite Kilgrave made me do it? Did you, of any of the ones that were fakes, were there any that you laughed at especially?
The pregnancy one was pretty funny, but I kind of really do like the convenience store guy.
Yeah.
Just that it's like, oh, he had the red glowing eyes and he just wanted me to do, I thought that was pretty amusing. Cause that got like off the immediate bat. I'm like, okay, that guy's lying. Just that, before he even spoke anything, I'm like, nope, liar.
You know, Kilgrave made me do it, though. I like this idea of how this is just like this great excuse going on in New York right now, where all these people can come into Hogarth and be like, yeah, I did this really terrible thing, but it wasn't really me. Kilgrave made me do it. But I feel like there's so many things that you've done that are stupid in your life that you would love to just be able to say, yeah, it wasn't my fault. This guy did it.
Yeah, it was. It's actually funny because, you know, as we mentioned, Alias was written by Brian Michael Bendis in the comic, and Brian Michael Bendis also wrote this great Marvel event called Secret Invasion, and the premise is almost like very body snatchery, where it's these aliens who can shapeshift to look like anyone else, and it became a, like, you know, mistrustworthy, like, who's really who. But anyway, after the whole thing was exposed nationally, like, oh, it was aliens, and they were doing a lot of this terrible stuff, Quicksilver, who is a character from the comics that often gets, you know, he's kind of villainous at times, and people, like, you know, don't like him because it's just like, oh, Quicksilver, you know, you can't trust that guy. And the public didn't like him. Basically came on national TV and was just like, yeah, I was totally captured by these aliens and they were impersonating me the whole time. And all the heroes know it's BS, but all the people are just kind of like, all right, yeah, sure, that's believable.
That's hilarious.
So it was pretty great. So I kind of like that this, you know, the story is kind of very Brian Michael Bendis-y and how the response would be, because I think that's exactly how people would react.
Yeah, I think that there definitely would be people who would just hear that and be like, oh, sweet, great excuse.
Yeah, exactly. Mind control. Kilgraved, yes.
Yeah, I got Kilgraved. Yeah, I don't think
hashtag
anyone...
I got Kilgraved, yeah, is pretty solid.
I don't think I want to get Kilgraved. I don't think anyone wants to get Kilgraved, but if you can use it as an excuse, if you can fake getting Kilgraved, I think that's the sweet spot.
Yeah, exactly, and I think that's what... You know, it's like the smart people would wait a little bit till there's more information about the guy, so that way when they go in, they can describe him better. These people are just, like, randomly saying things, you know?
Yeah. Hogarth has this line with Jessica where she says, like, oh, man, you could solve so many problems with his gift if he was on our side. And Jessica really freaks out about that. What's going on there? Like, is it Jessica being mad at Hogarth, or is it Jessica just being, you know, freaking out about herself and her own trauma and everything? What's your amateur diagnosis?
I mean, I think there's a lot there with it. I think Jessica is freaked out in general because obviously anything when people say like, oh, Kilgrave has a gift, or like it'd be great to have Kilgrave's power, she doesn't take it well because it's, to her, it's all terrible and it's easily abused. She went through this whole thing, you know, with Eastman, Audrey Eastman, who tried to kill her because of her power and all this stuff. So I feel there's a lot of emotion for her in general about, like, what's happening. So she got really upset. That said, you know, that it'd be great if it was on our side. Very, I can't believe I'm blanking on his name right now. Nick Fury. It's very Nick Fury, like, statement to make.
My friend Nick, like, Fury, or Nick Fury, the Marvel character?
Oh, not Nick Fury. Maybe Nick Fury, our friend, as well. But no, the Marvel character. It's a very his response, because it's like he sees things as like, oh man, if we had that asset, that'd be amazing,
right?
So it was a very, like, I definitely understood her response because I see where she's coming from. But Jessica does not want any of that because it's almost like you said, like, oh man, if only we could convince Loki to join our cause.
Right.
It's like, what are you talking about? Right. How can you even think stuff like that? So I see where both sides are coming from on that one.
Yeah, totally. And it does, but it does make me wonder. I mean, the more and more we're seeing of Hogarth, like, in her private moments, the more and more, like, evil she is. I mean, she's not evil, but she's ruthless.
Yes, I think that's a better thing. She's, like, ruthless for sure.
She's ruthless. And, like, the whole thing with Calamity Jane, with Wendy, her ex-wife, or soon-to-be ex-wife, and she's taking her assistant to the restaurant where she proposed to Wendy, and they run into each other, and it's so merciless the way that they're encountering each other. And I mean, I guess maybe there's still more to learn about Wendy, and maybe she is somebody who has some skeletons in her closet. I guess Jessica is going to find out, because that's the favor. But damn, like, Hogarth, you're the one who is cheating on this woman. You're like the high powered lawyer who's just being so stone cold to your ex-wife. What's the deal?
Yeah, what's interesting is that, you know, she's still, like, a real person to me. Like, there are people who are like that. And I think this is kind of touching on, Yeah, and I think this is touching on what we said earlier, too, where it's like the fear of Kilgrave is that if a regular person, if someone had that kind of power, you could see how they could become like that. And I 100% believe, like, that is exactly what would happen to Hogarth. Like, if she had Kilgrave's mind powers, she would 100% become like him, because she's almost there already, because she's so ruthless and kind of, like, only cares about herself and her own stuff. Like, she lacks empathy, is what it seems to be. She doesn't understand why other people are feeling the way they are.
So do you think as she's like setting up this support group and this thing, and her and Jessica are getting all of these Kilgrave survivors together, that she's almost, it's really just about the case for her? You don't think that she has any trace of empathy for these people?
I think it's 100%. I mean, she kind of said before she likes to win. And I feel like getting these people is just part of the getting the win in, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, I don't want to say it completely. She has, like, as I talked about earlier, I feel like there are hints about, like, if she does care for someone, you know, she maybe, you know, she won't do something that is directly, she won't give you a hug.
Right.
But it seems like she does kind of care at times, but I feel like this is really about just a case.
I guess just like what I'm kind of wondering is between that attitude and the way that we see her talk to her ex-wife or soon to be ex-wife and what she says to Jessica about, like, man, if we could have that on our side, wouldn't that be awesome? I'm wondering if we're heading in that direction at all. Is there going to be any kind of alliance between Hogarth and Kilgrave, or will Kilgrave get involved with Hogarth? Is it possible that Kilgrave is already involved with Hogarth? Are any of these things on the table for you?
I haven't considered that, but now that you mention it, I feel like that'd be an interesting way to have Hogarth face this thing that she's just like, man, it'd be great to have that, you know, on our side, and then face that and see how awful he is. And have her change her opinion real quick.
Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like it's something that's worth tracking. I don't know what's going to bear out from it.
Binging Billy does.
Yeah, binging our Philly knows too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so who knows where that's going to go. But wouldn't it be cool if, like, we saw her, like, assemble some sort of Thunderbolts type of team of Kilgrave and Wilson Fisk, and you even mentioned Loki. I could see that. That would be a good squad.
A Suicide Squad, if you will.
Yeah, like the Marvel Suicide Squad.
That's pretty much what the Thunderbolts have become. They're right. Just Marvel Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that
I don't know if they'd ever be able to pull that off. That's a lot of interesting pieces.
Yeah, you can leave that one to DC. DC needs something.
They got the Suicide Squad.
Give them a thing.
It's funny because Suicide Squad, out of the two of them, I feel is like, publicly, I feel like has been tracking the best out of Batman v Superman and Suicide Squad. I think more people are tracking towards Suicide Squad than they are Batman. Like, you know, Batman v Superman is more divisive, whereas right. Suicide Squad, more people seem to be into.
Here's a great example. Here's a great opportunity to test that. If you guys are listening to this right now, and if you are thumbs up on Batman v Superman more than Suicide Squad, let us know. Or vice versa, if you're more thumbs up on Suicide Squad v Batman v Superman, let us know. Tweet that to Kevin Mahadeo and myself, at Kev Mahadeo and at Round Howard. We'd love to know.
Yes, that's public. We can actually put these questions to the test.
Let's give it a shout. Let's see. Just give us a shout. Let us know which one you're more looking forward to. Or if it's neither, you could say that as well. If you have no idea what the hell we're talking about right now, is entirely possible.
Who is this Batman you speak of?
Who is this Batman? What else is a big deal from this episode? We've got Jessica.
I mean, I feel like there's one really big deal.
Well, there's one more really big deal, but let's unpack the thing with Jessica and how she has like this huge fit when she runs into Audrey, and she has the scene where she once again brings up the big green guy, which is, can they not say Hulk?
Yeah, it feels like a very, like, it's how I feel sometimes watching Supergirl, where they keep saying, like, him or the big guy. And it's just kind of like, can you not say Superman? Like, what is going on there? Do you only have, like, one Superman per episode?
I vaguely understand it for Supergirl because it's not part of any larger cinematic universe. But Jessica Jones is part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You can't just straight up say Hulk.
Yeah, it makes me wonder, like, do the public not know him as that? Like, the Avengers certainly know him as Hulk, and they all talk about each other, but, like, do the public not know that he's called that?
Doesn't she also talk about the flag waver? I mean, you would know that he's Captain America. He's part of your history. You read about him growing up in elementary school.
Yeah, it's very accurate. And yeah, also calling him a flag waver, it's just like, that one's easy. His name is Captain America. It's not even that hard to like not figure out, you know?
There's a lot of offensive stuff in this scene, to the point when Audrey has the gun on Jessica and says, like, who's this Kilgrave? Is he another one of your people? And how many more gifted people are there out there? And man, gifted is such a stupid word. It's like calling someone special. They're not special. They're retarded. You're not gifted. You're a freak. This is just very offensive stuff.
It's super offensive. I did like Jessica's, like, what did special people and people like me ever do to you?
Yeah, that was really good. That was funny. That was a good dry retort. I like that. I really wanted to see Audrey just get smashed in the face.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, Audrey, everything she said was offensive, and it'd be great to just see her get, like, you know, like, backhanded or something by Jessica. But, I think Jessica kind of pulled a Kilgrave-y move where it was more interesting to her to like instill this fear and say that line where it's just like, you know, I have 99 friends and hence the title.
And the Hulk is one.
The Hulk is not one. But yeah, I think that was more about it. It was not just, you know, she could have easily destroyed them, but I felt like she didn't want that. She wanted to like teach these people like, hey, you leave people like us alone. You're awful. Just get out of here and never show your face again.
Right. I did like that Audrey's story had ties to the Battle of New York from the first Avengers movie and how it talked about sort of the collateral damage of what happened there. Not that, like, Thor killed her mom or anything like that, but the fact that Thor was fighting some Chitauri aliens and a building probably came down on her mom, she's linking that to the Avengers. So I like seeing that aspect of, as you were talking about earlier, sort of, you know, building toward Civil War, Captain America Civil War, which is coming out next year. But just, you know, in the universe of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which is going, you know, it's getting close to a decade at this point.
That's crazy. There's
already sort of superhero fatigue within the universe. I liked seeing that. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. And I think it makes sense to pretend that nothing, that no one died during that battle is crazy. It's like the Man of Steel thing. Those buildings went down. People were there. People died.
Right. We also learned from Jessica that not only did she get her powers in an accident, but she lost her parents in an accident.
Yes, this is all accurate to the comics. She got her powers in an accident in which her parents died and chemicals were involved.
Okay, so maybe we will see more, maybe we won't, or maybe this is all the information that we need. But one of the things that we're focusing on really strongly on this show is Jessica's PTSD from Kilgrave. What we haven't really talked about much is her PTSD as like a superpowered individual and how she got these powers and how, yes, there's these great assets. She can jump really high. She can kick your ass. But now we know that she lost something profound in the process, and that's not something that had been dealt with on the show yet at this point. So this was an interesting reveal, the fact that she has some real baggage with the accident that gave her these gifts.
Well, I think, you know, if you look at especially Marvel superheroes, it's like when people get their powers, it usually has to come at a cost. And I think that's important for, you know, when the trope of superheroes is that's how it works. I mean, Spider-Man lost Uncle Ben, you know. I mean, he got bit by radioactive spider, but he became a hero because he lost Uncle Ben. You know, she lost her parents. Daredevil lost his sight. You know, the Hulk got hit by gamma radiation and became a monster, basically. So it's like these things, when they happen, they give you great power, but it also comes at a great loss.
Right.
And I feel like that, you know, that makes interesting story and interesting characters. I mean, people love Batman, and Batman got the way he is because his parents, you know, something terrible happened to him as a kid. And I feel like maybe it is a thing that like people connect to better, like as opposed to, unfortunately, like with Superman, where it's just like, well, he's just an alien. He just showed up. But like, he lost stuff too. I mean, Superman lost his entire planet of people, you know, his entire race basically died, and he's the only sole survivor. So I feel like almost every hero has a loss in the sense of where their power comes from, because that's how, you know, good storytelling, good character development kind of works.
And I think it was kind of cathartic for her to like toss the shit around the room and just like really let it out. But
that's what we were saying with Luke Cage, right? Like, that's why they're doing it so much, is because they can finally cut loose. And I feel like it's a thing that they don't get to do often. So she got to cut loose in that scene. I feel like it was, you know, a nice release for her.
But one thing I feel the show is really building toward, and it's just not pulling the trigger on at this early point in the series, is Jessica's got to really open up in this support group. Like, we we see later on when she's with the support group and she finds out about the guy who drove Kilgrave around for a week, which is a really big deal for the case. But also she's not stopping down at all to relate to these people on an emotional level. The fact that we all have this shared trauma of we were messed with very hardcore by this guy who can exist within our minds. And even people within the support group, Jessica doesn't really care to hear this, but there are people like, what kind of therapy is this?
Yeah. You know?
And so I feel like we have to get to that point where Jessica is going to open up. I imagine that's on the way and that's going to be a really great scene. But right now, Jessica's just not ready to connect with anybody on that level.
Yeah, it's very much true that she's kind of locked people out, which is, you know, what she did with Trish. She's finally opening up to Trish again after a while now. But that seems to be her reaction instead of, like, you know, opening up to others and seeking comfort and help with others. She just immediately locked everyone else out and only, you know, her answer was in a bottle, which is not the way you should be doing these things.
No, definitely not. And again, that was a question that we got from Binging Our Philly, who said, is Jess's constant state of inebriation a concern? Is she missing things and or being watched because she's plastered? How much do you think that's feeding into Jessica missing things or feeding into the fact that Jessica is just not entirely on top of this case? Like, maybe she could be a little bit further along.
Well, it's funny because I'm not too sure how her powers work, but there's always a question in comics about, especially people who have strength and vulnerability and, you know, high metabolism and stuff like the Flash and Superman.
Yeah.
Flash and Superman are actually really great examples because there's an argument that they can't really get drunk. It's almost impossible for them to do so.
It's like the Flash on the Flash.
Right, exactly. Like, if anything, he's drunk for, like, maybe a second, but he will never feel it. But I feel like the alcohol, she has to drink a lot of it just to get a little bit numb. So I feel like she's never as plastered as she would be if she was a normal person, but she drinks as much as she does because it takes that much for her to feel anything.
Interesting.
So I think that may be what's happening here is that, yeah.
I hope her liver is super strong.
Well, usually that comes with limited invulnerability and stuff. And usually if you have super strength, you have very limited invulnerability. So I feel like part of it is that.
Okay.
But yeah, that's always something that, because this is how I think, that always interested me about, like, oh yeah, so like Superman and Flash, like, they could never get drunk. Like, it'd be impossible for them to do so.
Right.
So I think it might be similar to her.
So the end of the episode reveals that Kilgrave has been getting the hookup from Malcolm. Can you explain exactly what happened here?
Yeah, well, it's funny because, like, early on in the episode when Abe Simpson grabbed Malcolm, I was like, oh god, poor Malcolm, this guy can't catch a break, you know? And then at the end of the episode, I was just like, oh no.
Yeah.
It seems very much so that, like, Malcolm has been a Kilgrave plant, I guess. Like, it's crazy because, like everyone, like, I never suspected that. I just thought he was, like, some junkie guy. But, like, it, you know, the driver explained, like, he's been getting pictures, or Kilgrave has been getting pictures from this guy in a blue and white scarf. And then, you know, Jessica has been looking at the surveillance video that Abe Simpson provided.
Right.
And she finally sees the blue and white scarf because she has something to look for now. And then she realizes it's Malcolm. And it's just like, well, I had more of a, like, oh god, no,
right,
reaction as opposed to her of just like, what? You know,
but how much do we believe that this is, like, he's a Kilgrave plant, like, he's, you know, he's a bad guy, or is he a Kilgrave zombie?
I don't know, because, like, part of me is now wondering, like, is he addicted? Is it just because his mind is messed up because of Kilgrave? Like, is he Kaiser Soze-ing? Like, there's a lot of questions here about how exactly Malcolm is involved, but he's clearly involved in some way.
Do you like that development for the show that there's, you know, this person who's supposedly, he's not, like, quite like the best friend character or anything, but he's like the neighbor character. He's the quirky guy. He's damaged goods in a way that Jessica can relate to. Do you like that this is the direction that they're taking this character in and kind of giving him a little bit more of a nefarious bent?
Absolutely. I mean, I think this is part of what is, you know, making this villain what he is this sense, again, of paranoia and fear. And if someone that close to you, like physically that close, and someone you've interacted with, you know, it's terrifying because it makes you question everything now. And I think that development, even if not just for that character, but that idea that someone so close to her is, you know, under Kilgrave's influence or working with Kilgrave or something, it's a great development for Jessica, because it for a character, it's just like, oh my God, who can I trust? What can I do?
Right.
Also, if Malcolm is in league with Kilgrave, then he 100% knows about the Sudafedrin, Cefels, and whatever.
Right. The
knockout thing, because she used Malcolm in that scene. So right. It's just like, oh God, like everything in that moment, like as a viewer, and if you're Jessica, I feel like has to be falling apart.
Well, from the fact that he's been photographing her and stuff, already I was starting to think like, well, so he's going to know about the anesthesia that she's trying to give to him. So already I felt like he was on guard. This definitely, I think you bring up a great point. The fact that Malcolm was in the hospital and, you know, it depends on how far gone he is. If he's actually kind of present, if he's more present than we believe, then he knows details about Jessica's plan, or at least knows what she's after. But if he, you know, if that's the case, even still, Kilgrave's weakness is Kilgrave's weakness. He's just going to be on higher alert for the drug, but the drug is still going to do what the drug's going to do if she can get close enough.
Right, exactly. I mean, that comes back to what we were talking about before, where it's just like, how do you get it in him? And your solution was high-powered sniper rifle, dart gun. And I was like, okay, well, that's it. End of series.
Yeah, that's it. We're still waiting for the show to end any minute.
Yeah. That is probably how it's going to end. So we'll see, I guess. But yeah, ever since you said that, I'm like, oh, right. I guess if they can get a hold of that, yeah. I mean, I'm not too sure where they're going to get a hold of that, but yeah.
Also, not for anything, if Malcolm is actually a bad guy, if he's a Kilgrave plant as opposed to a Kilgrave zombie, then I don't feel so bad about what happened to that guy last episode.
Well, yeah, in retrospect, after everything, you're just kind of like, oh, yeah, well, fuck that guy. Or wait,
whoa, hard F-bomb. Hard F-bomb alert.
Sorry, my bad. I did
it. Like, oh, my God. It happens. It happens every once in a while. You gotta set it free every now and then.
But, yeah, you know what I mean. Like, you know, but I don't know. I'm hoping he's not just fully Kaiser Soze-ing him, like, or he's just not Kaiser Soze-ing her. But we'll see, I guess, how it plays out. Like, either way, it was a very big shock because I didn't see that coming either. Yeah, makes me question, you know, Robin and Kevin, Ruben, whatever, now, too. Like, as a viewer, you have to question everyone.
Yeah, you're questioning yourself.
Yeah, I could be a Kilgrave zombie and not even know. Yeah. Just a Manchurian candidate, one word puts me under thing.
Oh, my God. All right, well, we'll find out what the fallout of this. It's a good cliffhanger. I'm definitely curious to find out what's going on here. I'm glad that there's episodes that you can just go ahead and watch right now, but I actually can't go ahead and watch episode 5 right now. I got to go do some stuff. So I'm going to go do some stuff. We're going to take a day off. Thanksgiving. Enjoy Thanksgiving, everybody. Have fun. We'll come back on Friday with, appropriately, aka The Sandwich Saved Me, which is how I figure a lot of turkey hangovers are going to get saved on Friday with a with a leftover sandwich. Ironically, I'm actually about to go have a turkey sandwich, Kevin.
Oh, what? Yeah, so it's so morning for me. I got to get breakfast.
Yeah, I'm going to go meet some friends, get a turkey sandwich, going to go play some bocce. Then I'll come back. I'll watch episode 5.
And you and I can
recap episode 5 of Jessica Jones. And that'll drop on Friday. What should we do? What did you say was the hashtag earlier? You said, I got Kilgraved?
Yeah, hashtag I got Kilgraved.
All right, yeah. So give us an excuse. Give us something that you got Kilgraved on. It wasn't really your fault. Give us a little story if you can fit that on Twitter. Tweet that our way, at Kev Mahadeo, at Round Howard, hashtag I got Kilgraved. Tune in for more Jessica Jones. We'll talk about episode 5 on Friday. Until then, take care, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving and goodbye.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Gobble, gobble.